Where'd you come from?
It was all burning. Only Indians around. Just all burning and smoking.
How'd you get away?
Smelling. They were burning everything.
He's plumb out of his head.
Just plain, I could see it. It was burning the wagons. People were screaming.
I wouldn't do that again.
Put that gun down.
I said don't do that again.
All right, sonny. I was just asking where you came from. Don't ever trust anybody till you know them.
I won't. After this. Thanks for telling me.
All right. This is our third time going around with this. We're going to be doing another marathon starting this week. And unlike the last two marathons that we attempted, one we succeeded at, one we kind of failed. It's not going to be director-focused, but it's going to be genre-focused, as we're going to be talking about Westerns for the next 5 weeks in what I'd like to call the No Crying This Christmas Marathon, as we talk about Westerns. This week, we'll be discussing Howard Hawks' 1948 film, Red River.
Wait, sorry, we're not talking about Westworld?
No, Westworld.
That's not
first
a Westworld.
First of all, Damon is done watching it.
And second of all, that's barely a Western.
But that's what I watched.
All right, so you may now leave.
Cool. Okay. Robit.
This movie stars Montgomery Clift, Joanne Drew, and John Wayne. Damien, I don't know if you'd like to preface this in any way.
Sure.
Because you brought this to us. This is your brainchild. You want to educate us on these cowboy people that we don't know much about.
There are many, many more cowboy movies. But then I had to sit down and go, all right, these aren't Western movies for me. I have to be a little bit diplomatic.
I'm like, holy shit, the Howard Hawks movie's on here.
Yeah.
How did Damien let this slip by?
Yeah. That's actually a lie. There was a time earlier in my life that I did not like Westerns. Like, at all. Because my grandfather used to watch a Western channel. And I don't know if you've ever spent any time on that channel, but they'll play anything on the channel.
As long as there's dirt on a horse.
Right, if it's dirt, horse, and black and white, if any of those three things exist, you're... And for a long time, I assumed that Westerns were bad. I was a silly child, and the Westerns that my grandfather used to watch weren't the good ones. There were like, what's it called? There's one that's basically the Law and Order, but for Westerns, I think it's called.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
You're an idiot.
Unforgiven?
I think it's John Wayne. Like, I don't remember what the TV show was called. But
Bonanza?
No, it wasn't Bonanza. There's another really terrible one. Who cares? And then, this is actually the craziest thing. My neighbors are notorious for being the worst movie people in the... Like, they are wrong all the time when it comes to movies. Like, if they tell me that something is good, I can automatically just go, all right, fine.
Am I as bad as them?
No, you'll never be as bad as... Because you'll actually watch a good movie. They, like... It was three boys, and so all they like was garbage. Like, just the worst. And one day, they said, have I seen The Wild Bunch? And I went, no, it's a Western. Why the hell would I watch The Wild Bunch? And they're like, The Wild Bunch is awesome. And it was their house, and we sat there, and I watched The Wild Bunch. And that was the first time I realized that a Western could be good. And
so many gunshots in that movie.
Yeah. And then, over time, like, I didn't really watch a lot of Westerns because my grandfather was a crazy person. And then one day, my uncle got Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid on two VHS tapes. It's a long movie.
Love that movie. Is it long? I don't think it's that long.
It's a long movie.
We don't have data caps anymore.
I should buy that on Blu-ray. I only have the DVD.
I already won that. So hard. And I watched that, and like, he was surprised that I enjoyed it. And so he brought me to, You guys don't remember what Odeon was.
I've never been, but I know what Odeon is, or was.
Like, the day before it shut down, they showed The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And my uncle took me to see it. And rain.
Did this involve time travel?
No. They were just showing, like, shooting movies. But rain fell that day. So I did not see the movie. Because Odeon is open. So
it's a drive-in.
It's really shitty. But I always remember that name. Because it's such a great name. And then, as I got older and the internet came about and you could get movies illicitly, I started watching a lot of Westerns. Because I realized, they're not bad movies. They're fun movies to watch. And watch a ridiculous amount of Westerns. I've seen... So when I was doing this list, I went on to Google and I was like, all right, top Westerns. And... Google does the thing where they'll show you the movie posters all across the top, and it was four clicks deep before I found a movie that I did not see. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that one. And it was the shootiest was the first one that came up that I didn't see. I went,
which we'll be talking about.
Yeah, I went, this is crazy. And so I had to go back in. I'm like, alright, which one are the big ones that they wouldn't have seen, and then some of which are my personal favorites. And so when I saw the Howard Hawks one, I knew that one was in, for two reasons. One, the director, because I knew Andrew, and two, John,
I like Howard Hawks movies.
John Wayne doesn't usually play the bad guy in movies, and in this movie, Red River, it starts out, they're part of a group of people traveling through the West. And he decides that he sees a piece of land where he can raise cows, and he will go and claim that land. By Texas. Claim, I mean steal. And by steal, I mean murder anyone that comes to reclaim land that was never his, was never given to him. And then, years later, they have to transport the cows because there's no market for cows in Texas. And they have to take it on this long...
They're all vegetarians?
Yes. They have to take it on this long journey, and over the course of the journey, he loses his mind. And this movie was one of the first ones that I saw that when I realized that all Westerns weren't telling the exact same story. It wasn't all stories about revenging, which is why I fell in love with Westerns in the first place.
Which is why you fell in love with South Korea when you discovered them.
When I discovered that South Korea had watched all the Westerns I watch and decided to develop their entire movie industry around making those movies. But in modern day, I went, yes and yes. They're simple stories. Act one.
Person wrong.
Right, person wrongs man. Act two till end. Man murders until murders. Individual person.
I see that in a lot of ways.
A simple two act story. A setup and murder. Simple yet effective.
So yes, Red River.
Right. I'd like to hear what you guys think about the movie first. Especially Douglas. Douglas does not like black and white, and he does not like cattle.
So I turned on this movie,
right.
And something was wrong with the television. I kept changing the filters and whatnot, and the color wouldn't work, so I turned it off.
Right, and you need to bump saturation all the way down and bring color all the way up.
So first of all, Damon, I need to ask you a question. Hi. Why exactly?
It's a Criterion movie, by the
way. Why exactly? Mm-hmm. Was I watching the prequel to Guardians of the Galaxy? Guardians of the Galaxy. Why?
Sorry. Before you answer that question, I have a question to ask of my own.
Alright, how did he get to this?
I'd love you to explain the Guardians of the Galaxy joke.
Yeah.
So Groot is in this movie.
Okay, all right, sorry. I'm dumb. Thank you. I'll move on.
I'm fairly certain that was the only thing he had.
Yeah. The partner, John Wayne's partner, his name is Groot.
Yeah, that's fine.
I only remembered Montgomery Clift and John Wayne.
That joke is so dumb. That your initial reaction was good enough.
It's only crazy people like me and Dave and that.
Why do I even talk to these idiots?
But, so this movie, was okay. It was good. It was actually also, I had to kind of take a step back and say this to Andrew while we were watching it, that this movie was really good looking. They did a lot of night scenes as well as day scenes. And when you're talking about a movie in black and white, night being intrinsically black, it doesn't really help you when you don't have other colors to balance you off. But it felt like they just got it right. They had been doing it long enough. They're like, okay, we know how to get this done.
Light a night scene so that it's not complete madness.
Exactly. And it was I liked how the movie looked. The movie itself was pretty good. The story is great, and you kind of went through most of it. Where it's this fellow losing his mind essentially, and it's. When you said that John Wayne was a bad guy, I suppose, yes, he is. But in a way, you feel like he isn't. You feel like he is just a guy that's lost his way and hopefully eventually comes back around.
He's not the typical bad. Like, he doesn't go all the way with it. But there's a point where he clearly loses his mind.
And, you know, I also... Something I like about the movie, and she doesn't get a lot of play in it actually, is the lead guy's love interest. What is Montgomery Clift, that guy? Is that
who Montgomery Clift is the lead guy, and his love interest is Joanne Drew.
Okay. And she, like, it's.
She doesn't show up till like 2 hours into the movie.
But it's sad watching these movies and. I had to kind of laugh and say to Andrew when we were watching it that you clearly know who is the love interest from who isn't in terms of watching movies of this age.
Right.
Because the love interest has lines.
Right.
And looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else has no lines and is a sack is thrown over them.
Right.
Right?
Right. They look like they phone people on the roadside and say, let's be in this movie.
And
she's like well dressed, like she's dressed too well to be in the place because they're traveling through the desert and she's like nice girl.
but then at the same time they set her up as this not necessarily the typical person that would put a nightgown in the middle of the West, you know? She's shot in the shoulder with an arrow, and she's just brushing it off, and, you know,
she's like, I'm straight.
It's an arrow.
I can't stand up because I'm now nailed to the wall, but, you know,
I'm good. I was upset.
Arrows do what arrows do.
I was upset when we got to that point in the movie that Ian McShane wasn't in that town, just shouting curse words. I still haven't finished that show. I should finish watching Deadwood.
Yeah, me neither.
It took itself too serious.
That show?
Yeah.
Maybe it did.
It needed some
more. I'm sure there's a reason I didn't finish it.
It needed some more.
But Mr. O is in that movie.
Yeah,
in that show. Yeah. Sorry.
That's why I watched it.
And John Hawks.
Yes, John Hawks is good as well.
I started it for Timmy and continued for everybody else.
Okay.
But anyways, this movie, I think this is the first Western I'm watching, which is technically about a cattle drive for 2 hours.
No, that's not true. You've seen City Slickers before.
I guess.
And Meek's Cut Off.
This is my second Howard Hawks Western.
And people are cattle.
They're sheeple.
This is my second God, Hawks Western. Word. And Douglas, you should watch Rio Bravo if you like this movie. Mm-hmm. Rio Bravo is pretty great. John Wayne's in that as well. Dean Martin is in it and he sings a song.
Oh, wait, hold
on. That is why.
I've seen a Dean Martin Western before. What's that movie about?
He's in a town.
Uh-huh.
Dean Martin is drunk.
Uh-huh.
John Wayne is an old guy. And there's a youngster who wants to fight. And eventually there's gun shoot. I really don't remember the whole story at this point.
I love
point.
How he's just describing a Western.
He's just, right. Listen. There's a town. There's like a street. And then people shoot. There's dirt.
And it tends to happen at high noon.
And I think there's a horse somewhere. I don't remember. Set in the west, I think.
No. Yeah, somewhere to the left of Wisconsin.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Missouri.
Missouri.
Texas.
Anyways.
Mexico adjacent, I think.
Anyways, Red River.
Yes.
I quite like this movie. It's not just seeing this long form just constant battle with nature as they try to get point A to point B with like what I can only imagine is the worst job you could ever sign
yeah,
up for.
It seems right? like a terrible
attempting
idea
to get what 110,000 cows to go in one direction for 1,000 miles.
I wonder how long I could get a single cow to go in a intended direction.
Right.
Like today, using like modern technology, I'd get like a half mile and shoot it in the face. Stupid
car. But just watching all of the characters in the movie just interact and have to deal with the stresses of John Wayne being a tyrant, Montgomery Clift trying to be the nice guy who's like, look, I know he's a dick, but he's our dick, and we like him kind of,
right.
even though he's being
he's
a
gonna
dick
make
right
us
now.
Rich. Just focus. The man has a dream.
Like there's always those fun Western moments. So for example, when I don't remember the guy's name, but the guy
Cherry.
Was
Cherry.
Cherry.
Yes.
Cherry. Pew, pew, whoever played Cherry when they had that scene where they were shooting at the can. Like,
oh, it was so glorious that it was so painfully obvious that they couldn't really do that.
Yeah,
and so it was 3 or 4 different shots cut together, and the slices were harsh.
Yeah. It was also 1902. This movie came out. Right. I mean, nowadays, of course, you see, all right, they cut, like, something hit the can, and then they cut. They cut, and they cut. And, yeah, it looks terrible today, but it was still fun to watch.
I like John Wayne. I've seen I've seen a number of his movies at this point.
I love that scene.
A number.
I've seen a number of everything.
Guys,
because zero is a number. So is one.
But so it's the loneliest one. Right. Two is as bad as one.
Wouldn't zero be the loneliest number? Because there's nothing around it.
You can't be lonely if you're.
Well,
there's
no.
Nothing.
If you think about it, one and negative one are around it, but then one and negative one are also zero. So
yeah,
okay,
right.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Okay,
it should
exactly.
be. Yeah.
Math. Turns out musicians are shitty at math. Uno dos tres catorce. Yep. Done and done.
You needed that extra syllable.
Yep.
Yeah, I like this movie, Damon. I really can't put it into words. I think the one thing that I want to talk about with this movie that kind of weirded me out a little bit is we've seen a lot of movies that have to deal with time, have to deal with distance, have to deal with just making you comprehend in visual and interesting ways as to how hard a job someone did in this movie. Because with editing, it looks like someone just took 2 minutes to travel a million miles. But there are other ways for us to show us. In this movie, there are numerous moments in which they literally show us a book explaining he went over the panhandle, the Pecos, through the gutter, and out into Texas. Yeah. And because of that, we now understand he went a long, long while.
Actually,
because I know geography.
To be fair,
and I can read goodly.
I think that was a part that was poorly executed at times. Because the book, right? It worked well most of the time, but there were times when it was like it would fade into the book, and half a second later it would fade out, and you never really knew what was going on.
Actually, weirdly enough, like, I started to
actually highlight.
No, I know. They do sometimes. But no, there was one in particular that I remember. It wasn't even a half a second. Right. It was like a glimpse.
I think it's just old timey transitions.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they didn't have
and also they're filming on film, so they only have a limited amount of film to put things onto. So they have to, you know, try and. I'm sure there is a director's cut that has, you know, a reasonable amount of time to read these things. But I remember it was when I was watching, when this movie starts off, it kind of lets you know how Western-y it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Because John Wayne leaves his caravan and just goes off about his business. A lady, who is clearly his lady, is, you know, crying and saying, no, don't leave. And he said, I'll send for you, don't worry, I love you, whatever, whatever. And he runs off, and then in the background you see it smoking, and they're like, well, the Indians got her. Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. Like,
that was his response.
It's like, we could try and go back, but if the smoke is there, it's going to take us
A day
of riding to get back there. So
they said 2 hours.
Right. Whatever it was. And they're like, well, fuck it.
They're probably all dead right now.
She should have thought about that
when I left her there. Not when she begged me to come with her.
Yeah, exactly.
She should have thought that when I told her stay.
And also, we've been talking about Westworld and how at various stages of Westworld, I have generated in my mind stories that I want to see that then just never come to fruition. That happened to me in this movie, because when it got to that stage and he then started talking about, he got to his land and he started talking about, you know what, here is what I want to do. This is my vision. I want to be this, that, and the other. This, in 10 years, this is going to be the biggest meat farm in all of Texas. And it actually very elegantly transitions to that.
Mm-hmm.
But in that transition, I saw it as like a dream. It reminded me very much of a Spike Lee sort of sequence where, you know, he always has some sort of rant. Mm-hmm. He has a positive and a negative. He has a racist rant somewhere in there. But he also always has like a story where somebody is talking about what they're dreaming about and what they want to do. And it feels so hopeful. That's what this kind of felt like. And I said to myself, oh, I guess this movie is going to be about this man laying his claim to the stake of this land.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to come after him, and it's going to be a feel-good movie, and he's going to end up finally being this old man, kind of gathering his family together and saying, you know,
with all this cattle,
this is what I've done for you. And it was not that.
Actually, during that scene, I thought it really weird because of how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really think of it in the Spike Lee sense. It definitely is. But because of how it was put together, I spent like the whole of that monologue going like, I'm not sure whether we're watching, whether we're actually seeing the real future, or whether we're just seeing his dream and we're going to watch the movie of us leading up to it. Yeah. And then when it came out, I'm like, all right, that cool, that was real. All right, we're now moving on.
Yeah, exactly. Once it became real, I was like, all right, fine, let's see what's going on here. But yeah.
Right. I appreciated them. And this is a thing that movies in the past did. Probably because, as you said, film was not a thing that you had a lot of. Because a modern movie
only
would
if you're
show
Howard Hughes,
right? A modern movie would show you at least some of the build up to that. But in this movie, they're just like, "This is what I think is going to happen," and then cut to lots of tombstones on the ground. They don't explain that,
mm-hmm.
right? And here are all the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not until later in the movie you understand that the people buried under that tree aren't people that were trying to help him raise the cattle. Those are the people that stepped to him to claim back the land.
Oh no, that's the first thing that went into my mind when I saw it.
Yeah, because they're an awful person. What I'm saying. The movie
I assumed the first one.
Right.
Oh no.
Right.
I saw those graves and I was like, one try, two try, three tries, four tries.
Douglas,
he's good.
Douglas, do you know why I know that you and I are terrible people? I watched this movie with my mother, and she said out loud, she went, oh, and I went, oh, what are you talking about? It's like, oh, those are the people that he killed. Like, who else would be? this is two men raising cows. What? You think the cows are attacking them in them? What are you talking about? It's like, no, but there's a lot more people around there. And if you have that many people, you know, the times is harsh. And they said that they were running out of money. So a couple of people goodly died. And I went, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. I just assumed he smoked everyone because he stole the land. I'm assuming people stepped to him and it's like, gun shooty time. Read gun. Psalms
can
over.
Can I put that on a shirt? Gun shooty time.
I'm pretty sure I have that on a shirt.
I'm going to get into this shirt making business.
Boy, I want the shirt so bad. I just need to go to like copy shop or one of those other places and start printing up dumb shirts for 2017. I just write off those before. But yeah, I knew that you would think that. But I was also fairly certain that Andrew would not. Because he's a decent person. And I've seen other decent people go, oh yeah, people probably, like, the West is harsh.
Gone,
yeah,
right, you
know, somebody probably got cancer sick.
Right, the West is harsh, right. Very, very cancer sick. Not just regular cancer sick.
Maybe he got shot by someone else.
And I went, yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that they didn't immediately tell you or do a flashback of him shoot, because they just didn't have the film. They're just like, listen, people stepped to me and I had to murder them and then read things over them. I especially enjoyed, because I had, for a long time, I only saw him as the, like, he's the sheriff of the West. Like, more than Clint Eastwood, John Wayne is Westerns, but he's always the good guy, 100% of the time. So watching him slowly turn and be the antagonist was so surprising to me the first time I saw it. Because I was like, oh wait, he's not. Because when the movie started, I'm like, oh, the kid at some point is going to start feeling himself too much and steal some, and they're going to have a shootout or something. But then you saw it and you're like, oh no, he's the guy that is losing his mind because he's so driven into doing this thing that only crazy people would attempt, that he's blinded by everything else. And I especially enjoy his logic. He's like, last time I slept, 3 men left.
Not sleeping again.
Some flaw. There are some lines in this movie that I'll carry with me until I'm dead.
I especially like the end when the lady comes up and is like, what? Why did you know you're not going to do this? Right. So stop it. I love that.
I like in the beginning when the two young gunslingers trade guns, they're like,
yeah,
there's only two things in this world finer than a gun. And it's like, a great horse and a woman from anywhere.
Yeah.
That is magic. it is disgusting how many times I've seen this movie. But I enjoy the journey. Because they start and it's enthusiasm. They even cut to each person doing the yee-haw thing, which is a bit long. Could have cut out some of the people screaming.
But you need them to have that moment.
And you see all of them set off and they're happy and they're drinking coffee and whatever, and then one of the guys is like, listen, it's going too well. I don't like things when things go badly, but I don't like when they go good either. Like, it right in the middle. And you're like, that's the easiest way. You're like, alright, so things are about to happen now. And you see them continue, but all of their problems are from within. At no point are they attacked by people on the outside. They go and save a caravan, but all of the problems are internal problems. There's a man that loves sugar to a comic book extent.
He's a sugar man.
That is, like, understand that people like sugar. He has a new album coming up, by the way.
I saw it on Pitchfork's list of best rap albums of the year. And then I went, I'm never listening to another Pusha T album.
Yeah. We're talking about Pusha T?
Yeah, we're talking about
Pusha
T.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Because I think I listened to one of his more recent ones that he got.
Yeah, I got one recently.
I'm done with him.
And for a hot second, I thought I liked it.
Yeah, and then you heard it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be fair to the guy. It wasn't horrendous. It's fine. But that's about as far as I can go.
That is not a good bar.
Yeah.
I know that's where the bar is set now. But remember, there was a time when rap was good.
And you know what it is, too? I heard a large portion of the album live because he performed it for NPR, I think. And I was listening to that episode of the podcast or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you hear something live, you essentially say there's a bass here, add a couple notches, the studio album will be great.
Right.
And I think that's what I did. And then I bought it and I said, I don't know.
But yeah, just like watching all of the guys come up with reasons why they couldn't continue. Just the stress of this journey got to a lot of them, and you watch them make decisions, and you watch the immediate vicious repercussions for some of these decisions. You're like, listen, when you guys started, you signed this thing that said you're going to bring these cattle to there, and you understand why he needed to react so strongly, because the task is so large that for each man that deserts him, that is just cattle that he can't keep track of. And that is just money he's throwing away. But then he took it so far that everyone had to go, all right, boss, you've gone too far. And and the movie, like, for a movie that could have ended on such a dour note, it just, like, the movie ended kind of how it started, like, kind of playful. And then it ends and you're just like, all right, sure, everyone is fine. Like, everything happens. And this movie is
really good. Yeah. I love that ending. Like, they're just laying there on the ground, beat up. And they're like, he's like, you should marry that woman right now. Mm-hmm. He's like, I know, I should.
Stop giving people instructions. Stop it. And because it's a Western, there's a lot of real world things that you overlook. Like him shooting a lot of people that didn't need to be shot.
And I love
right
how
there at the end,
the people in there overlook it.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we were upset with you before, but you came back and you didn't. Look like you sorted out your problems with your son. So,
and you didn't kill him, so yeah, everything is fine. No sheriffs
we're
needed.
Fine, we're fine with you killing the rest of the guys before.
But Westerns. I'm glad that you guys enjoyed this movie.
I like when they got to the town and the guy was like, send the cows through the town.
Yeah.
And they're like, but they're not horse trained. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't care. And I'm like, for someone to think to put in an old-timey Western, for them to say they're not horse trained, just seemed really odd, but kind of awesome.
Yep.
And this fella's in negotiation skills are just great.
Just the worst.
He's like, so how much do you want to give me? I'll give you $20. Ooh, that looks like a good price. You know what? You go look around and see if that's a good price. Right. I'll give you the best one. Who does that?
I mean,
then he gave him 21
He seemed so desperate for
meat. Yes.
That he's like, listen, let the people see the cows walking down the street. They, like me, will flip out.
Yep. The only problem you might have are people trying to steal your cows.
Like, I enjoy beef. A significant amount. Yeah. It's chicken, bacon, beef, and then pork and fish.
Did you just put chicken ahead of bacon?
Yeah. Because
I understand you eat chicken a lot. Everybody does.
Yeah.
But
I think beef
that
wins
doesn't
it.
Mean you.
I think beef wins. I think beef wins. Right? And beef is supposed to be at the top.
Fun.
I know I eat chicken more.
Here's the thing, Douglas.
There are more chickens in this world.
Here's the thing, Douglas. There's a time I'd agree with you. the thing with bacon is you think there's, like, when you get bacon, it's never enough bacon. I have experienced too much bacon. It happened.
Were you at a buffet where you just had the tray that you were like, I'm going to test this theory?
Basically, right? One morning I went, you know what? No eggs. No, nothing. I'm going to
just eat bacon.
Stare this bacon tray in the face and see who blinks first. I blink first.
Right? Are you telling me a dead animal didn't blink?
There's a point where you say to yourself, I may have eaten too much bacon.
Never good words to say.
And then you go, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to leave bacon. And that is where bacon finally lost its top spot. Right? I've never said that about fried chicken. It's never happened.
Chicken is lowest on the totem pole.
It's
bacon, steak,
no,
pork, beef.
Listen.
Well, hold on. You know, steak is beef, right?
No, hold on.
Steak is beef the same way like bacon is pork.
Right.
So let's just move on. Different things. All right?
Let's be serious. Don't be silly. If we're being serious, it's fried chicken.
Then baked chicken.
Then bacon. Then other forms of chicken.
Then
the other three staples. It's beef, fish, pork. And then anything outside of that is just a waste of time.
All right, guys. I think we're about wrapped up on this one. Red River is a nice opening to this marathon.
I beat a 12-piece bucket of chicken. I won. The chicken blinked first. I lost the bacon.
So next week, we'll be back. And we'll be talking about the 1971 film by Enzo Barboni, Trinity Is Still My Name.
Fun times. Mm-hmm. There's some of that.